Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I'm your faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, we added two shows tonight. I was only aware of the one. Apparently, The Walking Dead is back. So, the ladies will start with that tonight once they get here. And then we have our new show, Debris, and then Resident Alien and Snowpiercer, of course. So, as soon as they get here, we will get rocking and rolling. So, what else have I watched lately? Oh, I know. So, I was an 80s kid, and never mind. Here's Karen. Good evening.
Good evening, AJ. How are you?
Good.
Great. It's nice to be here. I guess we're waiting on Jamie. She'll be here any minute.
Yes. So I was just about to tell our audience, while I had nothing else to talk about, I'm sure you watched Punky Brewster when you were growing up. Well, you were probably more...
I did.
Well, you know, you're a little older than me, but you probably watched Punky Brewster, right?
I watched it. I don't think I was like a huge devoted fan of it, but I remember it and I did watch it, yes.
Well, it's
Did
the latest
the
revival.
Reboot?
Yeah, I watched it. Well, it's a revival, and it's cute.
It's not a reboot. She's grown up, right?
Yeah, she's grown up, has her own kids now, and it's fun. And Freddie Prinze Jr. plays her ex-husband.
Does it get better
than
the first episode? Because I've seen the first episode, and I don't know. I thought... It got better as it went on, but I thought the beginning of it was just kind of like, I don't know, trying to play too much for laughs of people that watch the old show.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what
Did you watch the
is.
Old show?
Yeah, I was like a super fan because I was real little. Actually, though,
oh,
I must have watched it on repeats because I found out, I guess it actually premiered when I was like two. So I must have watched it when it like reran. But I loved it. I used to dress up like her. My mom was telling me she has pictures somewhere like where I wore two different color shirts and socks and pigtails and everything when I was little. But yeah, it ended up decent, but the beginning of it I had a hard time getting into, but then I didn't get a chance to watch another one yet. I've had so much going on. I watched one, but...
Yeah, I think I've watched like four, maybe five episodes so far, so...
Huh.
It's fun.
No, it's not
nostalgia.
On my radar. I was not planning to watch it.
Yeah. Well, I forgot.
I don't really
watch
comedies.
Yeah. Well, see, my thing was, you guys are going to laugh at me or yell at me or something, but Alyssa actually told me about it at first, and I was like, another revival? I was like, you know what, though? She grew up pretty hot. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Total honesty on this show.
So, anyway. Walking Dead for you ladies now.
Okay. The Walking Dead was back last night.
Yeah, I watched it quite a while ago. I'm trying to remember what happened. I know Maggie came back.
Maggie came back. This is we're basically going to see six, probably basically bottle episodes, I imagine, because they were filmed post-COVID.
Yeah,
this
episode was decent. It's better than the second one, in my opinion. Not that you're going to get what that one's about, but...
This one takes place almost entirely in the woods, as they are looking for Maggie's group of people that are hiding in the woods. I didn't love this episode. So The Walking Dead is so much better now than it was in, like, season 7 and 8, right?
We don't want to go back to that.
I mean, like, this is why I sometimes feel like episodes are generally good, because they're just not bad, as bad as they were, right?
Yeah.
But in general, this just didn't really land for me.
It wasn't real exciting. I don't know.
There were some really good moments. Like, it's good to have Maggie back. I thought the, like, death look between her and Negan at the beginning and at the end was good. And I was glad to see it because I struggle with them redeeming Negan on this show, right? Like, Negan is almost now, like, a normal member of the community, walking around, doing his thing, and I struggle, and I know you do, too. We've talked about this a lot. Like, are they just going to go and make him, like a regular member of the community now? Because that's, like, because of what he did. And it's nice to have Maggie back, I think, to sort of remind us of that, of what he did and who he is. And so I was glad to see that. I think what irritated me a lot is... The smoke is still burning from the Whisperer attack, and we already have the introduction of another group of, like, completely insane, horrible people.
Yeah, but they kind of fall there, right?
Gigantic, overpowering enemy, right?
Yeah.
And we only saw one guy.
Do these people, they don't have anything to do with the ones that have the other people captured, right? Or are they the same people?
Well, we don't know. We don't know, but Pope does not exist in the comic book.
So,
yeah, I mean, he says to Maggie, Pope marked you. I don't think they have anything to do with, they don't have anything to do with the CRM. I think, well, we don't know. I think they're more
No, not
to be,
the CRM. The ones that have.
Yeah, let me finish what I'm, I don't think there's a CRM. And we don't know who the stormtroopers are who captured Eugene and Princess, but they don't look like CRM. And I'm not aware that the Commonwealth has that kind of soldiers. So I'm saying,
right,
no, I don't, we don't know if they're connected, and I don't think
okay,
they're connected.
Okay, what are these ones called? Reapers, Reavers, something? I don't even remember.
Reapers.
So
no, the Reavers. I kept
Reapers
thinking Reavers also.
Firefly.
Firefly. Yeah, the Reapers.
Yeah,
Reapers. The Reapers.
Yeah.
The Reapers aren't in the
Firefly,
comics.
Though, let's be honest. Okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah, the Reapers, you said are in the comics? I'm sorry.
They are not. The Reapers are
not
in the comics, and Pope is not in the comics. So,
okay, I thought
we don't
maybe
know what's going to happen.
I'm assuming that probably, and I honestly I don't remember what the press release said, but that might be Richard. Robert Patrick.
He's going to be on the show.
Yeah,
yeah,
I don't know if he's playing
he's...
him or not. I can't remember. I'd have to find the press release.
I don't know, and I don't really care because that's for season 11. It's not in this back six.
Oh, it's not. Oh, that's right. I forgot. We have that. Yeah, that was. I forgot about that. You're right. It's not yet for a while.
I don't care because I'm still in my phase of being irritated at, like, Alpha's body is still warm, and we already have, like, a new overpower. Like, this show is just non. Apparently, everyone who survives the apocalypse is an insane psycho killer.
Yeah,
and
they all form
together groups, and they just go around attacking each other. Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, we could just do with some time of them surviving, you know, and I think it'd be okay, especially because these were added ones. And I wonder, though, that you said that, though, maybe the Reapers or whatever, maybe that's a storyline they added just for these six. I don't know. I just kind of wonder if we even really need these episodes. I mean, I'm not saying I might having it back or anything, but, like, it wasn't planned, and then they added it, and it's like they're having trouble filming things and everything, so they're going to be, like you said, kind of bottle episodes to begin with. So I don't know if they're all going to be, like, separate from the other storyline, if they're all going to be character pieces, because I'm wondering, because of COVID and also because of the second one, I'm wondering if each one is going to be like a separate few people. You know what I mean?
Yes, they are.
Because
they
kind
are
of like
because
with
of
the Walking Dead. Yeah,
they're
so
all
it might
like separate
it.
One. And so I understand that episode. The next episode for next week is a Carol and Daryl episode, and it's a flashback to the time that.
Okay, I don't have Daryl, to hide that. I didn't know you knew that.
It's a flashback to the time that Daryl was searching. The time that Daryl was searching for Rick when he went and lived in, like, the woods for, like, a while, which never really was touched on.
That was to say, I think, was a story we didn't need to see. That's all I'm going to say. Like, I don't know. I didn't like that one.
No,
and, you know, Daryl and Carol are, like, my favorite characters, so that tells you something.
I mean, we'll talk about it next week, but to me, it was never really believable that Daryl would leave the community for an extended period of time looking for a presumably dead person to find his body.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason to really believe he's anything other than dead. But in terms of this week's episode, I was bummed about the introduction of another supervillain so quickly, and one who has bullets. So that makes you think CRM, because who has bullets, right? And a silencer. We've never seen anybody use silenced or a suppressor, they call
it,
on the rifle.
I guess, Although I don't know that they purposely go after and chase people to kill, though. I'm not sure that that necessarily makes sense with what we know. Not that we know a lot. But,
are you kidding? That woman on World Beyond, like, all she's doing is pursuing people across the country to kill them.
Right, but to pursue, like, an individual person, I don't know. It's just, to me, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
She sent her own daughter to pursue an individual person, Hope, across the country.
Yeah, but that was because of their father and everything, the scientists. I don't know. I just,
but
to me, it seems kind of
random. You're saying they wouldn't pursue an individual person across the country. I mean,
right, but
certainly
I mean, for
they
her
would...
just to pick somebody to kill and go after like that for them to pursue just
they
for that
absolutely...
reason. Like, they needed the daughter. You know what I mean? It wasn't just that they were going after somebody to kill them. They needed her for a purpose.
They absolutely,
which is
I believe,
like they're just after Maggie to kill her.
I believe they would absolutely pursue to kill anybody they thought knew anything about the CRM. They poisoned all those people in that high-rise. Gave them the plague for some reason. I mean, they totally, I believe, yeah, the serum would kill someone if they thought they
knew
something.
Yeah, I thought that maybe was an experiment. We never really found out for sure. But, yeah, that makes sense. I don't know. I hadn't really thought about it, to be honest, but I guess it makes sense.
It is kind of ridiculous that Maggie mentions her last settlement was in Nashville, and this person has pursued her, presumably on foot, from Nashville to Alexandria.
That's kind of my point. Like,
Alexandria.
There has to be some big reason that she pissed him off or something why somebody would do that. That's why I'm saying, like, it's weird.
Knowing The Walking Dead, it's just because they're psychotic, because every villain on The Walking Dead since the governor has been just a psychotic
person.
If it
was CRM, it could be more interesting, actually, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. But,
that guy had a sniper rifle with a suppressor. He had a ghillie suit, that camouflage suit. He had a hand grenade. And he was willing to kill himself rather than answer Maggie's question when he clearly is stronger than Beta. He almost beat Daryl up, right? I mean, he's a superior. I felt like that guy maybe was a special forces person before.
Yeah, I definitely think he was some kind of black ops or special forces. I agree with that. That was kind of my first thought. But I agree. It's kind of like, I don't know that we necessarily need that right now. I guess we'll have to wait and see where it pans out with only 6 episodes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not sure, because I really didn't think about or pay attention to, like, where the scripts are coming from or whatever. I mean, I assume they already had planned out the story for next season. So that's what I'm saying. Are these, like, just fit-in episodes?
Yes.
My understanding is
they're just fill-in episodes.
So it's probably not
going to
be the
TV
same story, per se, as next season. Okay, that's what's kind of curious.
I think they're laying
we're not going to get like what they originally planned us to get in season 11. Like, that's still going to be season 11. So these are
I think some of it could be a prequel, and some of it could just be throwaway. Like clearly the Daryl episode is a throwaway flashback episode because they needed an episode. But this Maggie business and the Reapers, I feel like, is a prequel to what's to come.
That's what I'm saying, because
11.
It seems like it was more like, the show isn't exactly mythology, but you know what I mean when I say that. But that's why I was kind of curious, because obviously they already planned season 11, so, you know, some things could have been added in or whatever and shifted around. But, it was nice to have Maggie back, I guess. I didn't mind the episode. She's looking for a kid. I like to see that. And the kid's cute. But I don't know, like, it wasn't, like, some thrilling episode, like, I really needed to see what happened, but I don't know, like, maybe it's just, like you said, it had been better, I guess, so maybe I'm expecting it to be better, I don't know, I just wasn't very, like, excited by it, like, ooh, it was great, or ooh, it was so great, it was back, like, it was just kind of like, okay, but maybe that's also because it wasn't, like, a season premiere or anything, it was just kind of, like, a tacked-on episode, which probably doesn't help.
I was thinking through much of it that it was perhaps irresponsible of Maggie to not immediately tell Daryl, it's possible some psychos followed me here.
Yeah,
right?
That's
like
true.
I left. She never
that's
says I left because a psycho was out to get me and, you know, like, and killed everyone I know. And it's not until the shit has already hit the fan that she says, "Oh, I was so sure nobody followed us." Right?
Yeah, well, maybe she didn't want to bring that on them, but yeah, she probably should have at least mentioned that.
And I was also a little surprised by the guy who wears the mask. Elijah, who turns out to, like, who came off as this, like, hardcore, like, fighter.
Ninja guy, yeah.
Ninja guy, right? And then he turns out to, like, he has this moment where he's petrified and can't, like, act, and so Kelly, you know, encourages him.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if he's sort of hiding behind the mask, and it's more It definitely kind of seemed like that was maybe more the whole
I thought maybe his
purpose.
Face would be horrifying. Well, maybe he'd
yeah,
be
I
kind of
wondered if
something.
He'd be deformed or something, but...
I'm not sure.
Or maybe
what the
I thought maybe he's a famous guy like the other one. Maybe you don't want people to know, but I kind of doubted it. But it
yeah,
just makes me think
I'm not. I'm not sure. Yeah, what the purpose of that mask is, and that he's. Yeah, that was a little surprising. I don't like the other guy, Cole. He's kind of a jerk. But he does. He does follow Maggie, so maybe he's not a total jerk. After
yeah,
all,
yeah,
I don't know.
Like
he seems kind of jerky.
That stayed with her and helped her, so they're. You know, strong
well,
or whatever, and probably wind up important. But
I mean, all her people are dead now except for those two. So
I kind of doubted that they were going to suddenly kill Glenn Jr. all of a sudden, but
well, they're
I
not.
Wasn't
but,
too worried about that.
They're not. I'm not sure also how I feel about the addition of another kid to the show. Like. RJ, who, like, hasn't been seen in, like, two seasons, right?
yeah. I mean,
but,
I guess it depends.
But, well,
Judith is, like, a good character. So, I mean, could totally be.
Herschel should be younger than Judith. He should be much younger than Judith. Like, at least a year or couple years younger than Judith.
Although I'm bad at judging ages, so I didn't really know if he was or not. I didn't really pay that much attention.
Well, just based on the show, based on when Maggie
was
pregnant.
No, I know, but I meant if the kid looked younger, I meant. Like, I didn't really think about how old he was. I just thought he's cute.
Yeah.
And I guess he had Glenn's cap. I didn't really think about that until I read they were saying something about it, or maybe they said that
Glenn's
fucking
cap.
Dead.
I thought he looked kind of too old. I thought he looked kind of maybe older than that.
Yeah, that's why when you said younger, I'm thinking, I figured he was probably looked like he was about her age, but I really didn't think it through, so.
He should be maybe, I don't know, 6, 5, right?
Yeah, somewhere around there. I think it had been 6 years in between, so
hadn't
it?
He was a baby when Maggie left.
Yeah, he should probably be at least, like, what, 3 years younger than her, maybe?
Yeah,
maybe, I don't know. I'm really bad at judging ages, so.
Yeah. Anyway,
at any rate,
at least
Alpha's gone. That's all I said. Like, I'm like a new group, and I'm like thinking, but at least it's not Alpha. I was getting so sick of Alpha. Not that it wasn't a good villain, but it was too long, and it needed to.
I mean, to me, introducing that guy and this new group, for me, it was too quick, and it overshadowed for me some of the good things about the episode. Like, Lauren Cohen's acting was strong, and, like, you know, Daryl, it's nice to see Daryl, like, I mean, remember, like, 2 years ago when Daryl wouldn't speak for, like, multiple episodes at a time and we were so pissed? So it's good to have him being, like, a leader. You know, it's interesting to see Maggie. So Maggie was the leader of the Hilltop and Rick was the leader of Alexandria, you know, which it'd be interesting to see, like, next season how the two leaders, I mean, they're friends and might settle in better, but Maggie is used to being the leader, but it seems like she's pretty much screwed up every single place she's gone since she left. Everybody got killed.
Yeah, but she's also been gone, so I don't even know if they'll.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not saying they won't
single...
accept her, but I mean, she's got to, like, if she's going to, like, just kind of jump in as leader where she was, and will the people be like, oh, sure? Because everybody's all kind of mixed up. I mean, they don't have the kingdom now. We don't have, I mean, Alexandria's gone pretty much. Hilltop's gone. It's like everybody's just kind of like in disarray. And obviously Daryl's kind of the de facto leader right now because Rick's gone. So,
yeah,
I guess we'll see
how that
kind of turns out.
Like every place that Maggie went to try to help build a community, they all failed. Every single place she has been has failed, right? So,
yeah, not that it was necessarily her fault, but yeah.
Well, I mean, where I was
at
going with
not
that
completely.
Is either,
some of it might have been, but.
Like where I was going with that is either she's not a great community builder, or is the show trying to say something very pessimistic about the ability of humans to reorganize and build communities now in the world that they're living in, right? I mean, from Maggie's experience, she said, like, even though we had a big book and we taught them how to do everything, they just couldn't, you know, like I don't know, like, how bleak it's going to get. It's going to be the last season.
Yeah, that's
true. Or maybe we'll never hear of it again. I don't know. But Maggie seems to be very depressed, doesn't she?
Yeah, kind of. I hadn't really
thought
about it, but
I mean, her entire story is one of failure. Like, every place she went, the community fell apart or was overrun or was, you know, and she talks about
it. Right, although right now all the communities were overrun to a certain point, so I don't know any of them have been that successful lately. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Well, I mean, Omaha was successful. Like, if you're watching all the shows, Omaha was 10,000 people.
Yes, I mean specifically in this show.
Yeah. Yeah. And Virginia has been very successful in Fear the Walking Dead. Building communities of functioning communities of people. I mean, granted, she's a dictator, but, you know, she's been pretty successful at putting stuff together. So, anyway, yeah, it wasn't great. It was, you know, like a 6 or a 7 maybe out of 10.
Yeah, I said it was okay, and it was... Like, I mean, it was nice. Like I said, it was nice to see Maggie. It just wasn't anything that, like, wowed me. Like, I've struggled to, like, think about what even happened. Like, it wasn't like it even, I mean, I remember Maggie was back, and I remember seeing her kid. And I remember that guy attacked him. Like, those were, like, the three main points that stick out in my mind. And the rest of it just kind of got lost. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, so Kelly was kind of looking for Connie. And there was that.
Oh, that's right.
So there was that. Kind of dumb part. There was that really dumb part where Kelly's on watch and she leaves, right? They wake up and there's walkers in their
oh
area
my God.
Because Kelly has left. And
yeah,
I
well, at least I did appreciate, yeah, and I did appreciate that Maggie's kind of like, you can't do that. Like, we get that she's hurting, but you can't do that because she just did kind of just, like, leave them, you know? And,
but it was dumb.
So
like,
at least,
like, it was not, it's not believable to me that Kelly would do that.
I guess. I just more meant that I was glad that, like, somebody called her on it. It was like, no.
I guess, but to me, it's like, I'm sorry,
but
there's
no
person
something really stupid.
There's no person who's still alive 10 years after the fall that does that, except maybe these stupid kids who just got out of here in Omaha in the other show, right? That, it's just not believable that anybody.
I mean, she's young, but she's not that young, so she should know better.
Well, she's lived 10 years in the apocalypse. She's not. Right? She
yeah,
lived,
I mean,
they lived in the outside. They lived
I guess
outside
she's
of
looking
community.
For her sister, but
yeah.
I don't know.
So that's why it's not believable. Like, she's been looking for her sister for a while, right? But that she would just leave them, it just made no sense to me. It was dumb because Kelly would never do that. It was a case of, like, I don't know why they even wrote it. Like, because it wasn't like the plot demanded it. It's not like she found something really important or somebody got killed or she did it because the story demanded it. She did it, and they were like, don't do that. And she's like, oh, okay. And that was it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. The only thing I can say is the point of that was to show that she's missing her sister and that other guy lost his sister or whatever, and they kind of bonded over it. But, yeah, other than that, it kind of served no purpose. So.
Yeah. And, like, we as viewers know that she's missing her sister and wants to find her.
Yeah.
And that Daryl does too, right? There's like millions of shippers, Connie and Daryl shippers out there who are waiting for her to be found.
Oh, not me, that's for sure. So Carol and Daryl shippers.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just kind of, and Maggie's return, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was two run-ins with Negan were the two highlights that bookended the
it wasn't because it was added episode, but it also didn't feel like a season premiere. Like, it wasn't, like, I guess that's what I'm saying.
Well,
because
it's
like,
not
usually
the
when
premiere.
It comes back, right, but usually, like, when it comes back, even if it's, like, mid-season or whatever, like, it's usually, like, more, I don't know, more exciting, I guess, is what I feel like was missing from. That's why I said, like, I don't even half of it remember. Like, it didn't stick in my head enough. Like, I feel like it normally would have when it came back. But, I mean, they're also limited with a lot of what they can do. They can't have big crowd scenes with, you know, with hordes of walkers. So, to some extent,
we have to remember that The Walking Dead is not really about being a good television show anymore. It's part of this massive, like, multimedia thing that Gimple is running, and I feel like these six episodes exist for AMC. These six episodes exist for AMC to sell advertising into. I feel like that's really what these are about. They're not about fan demand. They need something to feed onto AMC Plus. Like, they launched their new streaming service, and they need content to put into it, right?
Which Talking Dead, it seems to be back on TV again. I don't know how great it's doing. They always can watch Walking Dead a week early or whatever. Like, they're really pushing people to get it because...
Yeah. And Talking Dead is the only show on TV that's worse than The Walking Dead. I mean, that basically is a one-hour advertisement now for Walking Dead.
Like, yeah, I watched part of it. I didn't even finish it. I'm just like, whatever.
Chris Hardwick, within the context of that hour of television, he's the worst interviewer on television because like, there's not anything, it's not really there to be a legit show. It's there just to, it's just there to be a cheerleader. He's just there to be a cheerleader for the show you just watched, right? He's not,
yeah, and the thing is, they don't really give any new info either, and I think that's why I don't care. It used to be like it was more interesting. Now it's just kind of like you hear the same things again and again, and it's just, yeah, promoting the show. It's not like really learning new things or that anymore. Like, because I used to enjoy it, but now I'm just kind of like I watch part of it and then usually quit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible. So, all right. Well, we both thought it was kind of bleh, and we're both going to watch it next week.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I know a lot of press a lot of press didn't like that episode.
Yeah.
Which the two first two were made available to press. I know you've seen it, and I know you won't say anything.
I
mean, some press liked it, some
one.
Didn't like anything. So, all right. So
I just
let's
think it's
it,
kind
move
of
move on.
Yeah, I'll just say
I'm
I didn't
sorry,
think
ahead,
the
Jane.
Second one. I was gonna say I just think the second one. My main complaint is, but without telling anything, it's about it. Just I feel like it was slow and unnecessary. Like I like I said, it's kind of like a story we didn't need to see. Like I didn't need that flashback. I didn't need to know what happened. And to me, what happened isn't even interesting. So, yeah.
Well, especially in light of the
and
fact
I love Daryl
that
Carroll, so that kind of tells you.
Feels like Rick Grimes has been gone for a million years now. So now we're gonna I almost forgot that Daryl was sad when Rick was gone because it's been so long, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyhow.
Yep.
All right. We'll still watch it next week and we'll be here to talk about it. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you guys want to, should we talk
about? What are we doing? What are we going to do next?
About Debris, the new show that came out this week?
Sure.
Okay.
All right. I know AJ watched it only like 2 hours ago, so why don't we throw it to you, AJ? And did you watch it with Artie, and what did the two of you think?
I got a new kid.
I called him Archie.
I felt like you guys did. It felt like we were watching a show that's already been on, and we caught it in the middle. Which is unusual nowadays. I mean, usually shows give you that origin story and kind of shove it down your throat. It kind of felt a little X-Files Monster of the Week type episode. Like, this is the first episode of a new show, and it felt like a Monster of the Week, which I don't think is a good feeling for a new show.
I think that's the setup, right? I think it's going to be procedural in that way.
It's going to be both. It's going to be sort
of
like Fringe.
I hope it's both because, I mean, you know, the people that brought us Fringe, so I can give them a little leeway to kind of draw me in a little. It didn't grab me the way I was hoping it would, you know? I mean, like I said, it felt like I was coming into the middle of something that I already should have had information to. So.
Yeah,
we'll
I don't know. I kind of wonder if they did that, though, because sometimes when they start off too mythology heavy, it's, like, really confusing and they don't kind of catch the viewer right away. So I kind of wonder if they did it to try to, you know, grab a different group of people this time. I don't know. Because it definitely felt like out, like you said, it didn't feel like a pilot. But when I thought that, I kept thinking, though, yeah, but normally we're complaining because it's too bogged down with information and everything as a pilot. We usually don't like pilots because of that. So it kind of went the other route, which I find interesting. But, yeah, it kind of sets up the mythology, but it is really a Monster of the Week type story. But I don't know. From everything Wyman said, it's going to be a blend. Like Fringe was. I don't know. I definitely got a Fringy vibe from it. I really liked it. I guess I liked it more than both of you did, but I thought it was really intriguing. I thought that it was also more, I want to say necessarily more character-based, but like it was more emotional and less sci-fi, I guess, than I expected. Like I maybe would have liked to have seen a little bit more of like the action-y sci-fi element, but it didn't necessarily bother me. I thought that there were enough weird stuff going around that it grabbed my attention. But I definitely think the idea of like the show is good if they, you know, depending how they pull it off. I definitely think you need to kind of see more to get more of an idea. But I don't know, I really liked it. I'm not sure about the main characters yet. I think we need to see them a little bit more to you know, be more invested in them. But I don't know. I still liked it. You didn't really like it, Karen, you said. You thought it was boring.
I thought it was boring. So I think, like, starting it, you know, the idea that it started in the, it starts in the middle of their investigation. Like, we're not sure how long it's been, but
maybe
it's been
that's
kind of a long time.
Too, yeah.
It's been kind of a long time since the debris started falling to Earth and since this investigation has been going on, and the characters are, like, in the middle of it. And so that's a choice that the creators chose to do that for some reason. Mm. It just didn't really land for me. I think there's potential in that decision. It took away some of the, took away that part where people, like, they were so blasé about it. Like, no one was like, oh, my God, this is so cool. People are floating. There's pieces coming. Like, we missed that whole period of discovery that the characters have early on in a show like this, right?
There's no, like, oh, crap, there's an alien ship. Like, it's like they've already accepted this.
Well, we missed any.
That's a good point.
Like, part of a sci-fi show is, like, the wonder and the kind of awe and amazingness of this stuff happening. And our character, I mean, it just kind of felt like a Law and Order. Like, oh, there's another dead body we got to investigate this week, you know? Didn't really.
I don't know if I go that far, but I see what you mean.
I mean, to me, that's how it felt to me.
Well, you know,
I think also part of that didn't really, it wasn't believable to me, the organization that these two work. I mean, there's one from MI6 and one from whatever he does, wherever
he
does.
Yeah, that's the one thing I think that they sort of left out, that at least when we saw the pilot, there was like some text about it that wasn't in here. At least I don't think it was in here. I missed the very beginning when I watched it live. But it's supposed to be that there's a coalition, I forget now what it's called, Orbital, I think, between MI6 and CIA. And that's why they're...
That was clear.
Okay, I didn't know because, like I said, I missed the very beginning.
That
but,
was kind of clear. It was clear where those two, but, like, they don't... It doesn't seem to be a very secret organization, this Orbital, and it's not... What really?
Yeah, I'm not
so
sure.
The part that struck me as most ridiculous was when a woman falls through the ceiling and lands in the dining room on a table with, like, diners everywhere. There's, like, tons of witnesses. And in the next scene, someone says, "Were there any witnesses?" And the guy goes, "Oh, nothing we can't handle." And I'm like, "What? Nothing you can't handle? Like, how is this
a secret?"
I think
they were talking. I thought when they did that, they were already, and maybe I'm misremembering, but I was thinking when they were doing that, they were talking about the thing that happened in Kansas or something, the first person that was found.
Talking,
so maybe I'm wrong.
I'm,
I'd have to go back and watch
I'm
it.
I'm pretty sure they were talking about the woman who fell through the ceiling.
But
I'm
sorry,
they
said that. That was kind of stupid.
But that would be all over YouTube. It'd be everywhere. And unless you're like Men in Black with your flashy thing to wipe people's memory, there's no way that you just take care of the witnesses and no one hears about this, right?
Yeah, that's why, like, I wonder. It almost makes it seem like people know and aren't surprised. I mean, I don't think that's the case, but it kind of makes you wonder.
Well, and these pieces of debris are being found all over the world, right, you guys? Like,
right.
So how are people not, I mean, the black market knows about them and are stealing them. I mean, that was another thing I had a problem with, was these black market guys who take a pill and teleport. Like, did they, or they ate some powder or something, right? Whatever they ate to teleport.
Yeah, it's the nachos. That
teleportation pill.
Yeah, and it was because he got stuck in the cement.
The one guy calls the debris nachos. That guy from Westworld, who's the star,
he keeps
referring to the triangle pieces as nachos.
You know, I couldn't
figure
out.
No, they took, like, a pill. They took a pill. They ate something, and then they teleported.
Yeah, I know, which is strange, because it was supposed to be the piece of debris that did it, so I'm not sure exactly. That was
confusing,
I guess.
How do we know that?
What Michael Eklund's character sold to them. That was like the whole beginning of the show when they were buying pieces from him.
He definitely put something in his mouth.
He did. I'm just saying that was kind of weird.
If he did not sell them teleportation pills because he wasn't able
to
teleport.
No, he sold them a piece of the ship. But what I'm saying is I assumed that that's what made them teleport. See, though, when I've seen it the first time, I might have seen a different version, and maybe that's why I'm misremembering a little bit. But I kind of assumed it was supposed to be whatever he sold them.
No.
And you're right. He didn't sell them pills. He sold them little things.
The first time they disappear, you don't know what happened. but when you see them the second time when they teleport, they eat something, right, AJ? This was very clear to me that they eat something and then they teleport.
No, I'm just saying, I guess I misunderstood or I'm confused because I thought it was supposed to be what they bought off of them when I watched it the first time.
No,
they might
it's not. So unless the black market, they're selling them to some amazing scientist who knows how to, like, create teleportation. Like, that is a huge, I mean, I guess it's a mystery you have to figure out. It surprises me because I felt this episode was very, very heavy on exposition, even though it picks up in the, I mean, pilots have a lot of exposition. I felt there was a lot of talking, explaining stuff of what's going on in a way that people don't really talk. And that's always a bore, right? And every pilot has a bore. Blame this. I'd say the thing that ultimately I didn't buy at all, well, so the idea that it was about grief and that the pieces who maybe aren't alien intelligence or not are, like, draining people's like, when it became, when it's, like, when Jamie, you said it was, like, too much emotion, that's the part that bothered me, that it was, like, getting away from science and more into, like, something that was sapping human emotion. And I did feel it was sort of, like, alien intelligence because,
somebody had mentioned something. I think on Twitter, yeah, that's not mine. It's probably AJ's. It's so took up everything. Yeah, somebody had mentioned something on Twitter, and actually made sense. Is I wonder if, like, these pieces are maybe sentient or something, and we don't, because that would make a little more sense. But again, they didn't really reveal a lot for you to know that. So
no, but did that bother you that it was about, like, feeding off grief and emotion there and wasn't,
no,
you know, like,
but
oh,
you know what?
Is the answer to it love, like it was with, you know,
no, but you know what? I feel like maybe I don't know. I feel like maybe it affected me different because I'm in a little bit of a different place than you are because of, you know, what happened fairly recently. And I feel like I connected to it more on that level. You know what I mean? Because I remember thinking, sorry, I'm going to make myself cry. Because I remember thinking, you know, what this thing does, like, imagine that. You know, imagine if you could go there and it would help you to remember somebody and to see them. Like, I could understand how you would get obsessed with it and you would keep going back. And, like, it eventually, you know, got to the point that it created him. Like, it was that, her grief was that bad. So I think I, in that sense, maybe connected different with it. Like, rather than on a level of a sci-fi show, because I do feel like it was, because that's what I said. It felt like it was, as much as it was sci-fi, it felt like it was more about that than about the science. Yeah, I guess is the best way to explain it.
I guess. Did we feel it was idiotic? So the main character bothers me, that woman, Fionnuala. First, her name bothers me a lot because in Ireland we pronounce that name Fionnuala, and in my brain I'm always correcting her, Fionnuala. But Fionnuala, like, they're supposed to be highly trained agents that are searching. And so when the guy agent, whose name I can't forget, so I'm going to call them Scully and Mulder.
Brian.
Those are their names.
You're going to call them what?
Brian. I'm going to call them Scully and Mulder.
That's what I thought you said.
When,
no, Brian and Fionnuala.
When Brian approaches that debris in the backyard, he immediately is like, oh, he backs away, he runs away, he tells Fionnuala, don't go near it, we got to call an agent, stay away from it, blah, 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 right? But then we see her, she walks over to it, and then she touches it, she starts, like, picking at the stuff floating around, right? And I just thought, wow, this is a person who, like, doesn't, I mean, I know she's, like, the Mulder character, the believer, but I thought that was very, like, unprofessional and risky. And then later when the little boy is, like, the fake little boy is, like, trying to draw her in, and she touches him, and then she's immediately, like, drawn, you know?
I questioned that, but I questioned if maybe she couldn't help it, because just, like, how that other woman, like, was, like, come with me. Like, I wondered if that was supposed to be, like, that was what he was doing for her, with her. That part was a little unclear. But, touching the debris on the ground was kind of, like, a dumb. That she did that.
I mean,
like, why?
What do you think, AJ? Am I being my usual too picky self?
I had a problem with the fact that their grief manifested the kid in the first place. I mean, it's just like we don't have enough information about anything, and I'm not like. I think the fact that we started in the middle of this, it just really. I mean, even like, all right, the X-Files. All right. Perfect example, X-Files, okay? The X-Files, yes, you start in the middle, but you start in the beginning of the middle. Like, Mulder and Scully, you know, like, they know each other, but they're just getting together. You know, like
yeah,
Mulder's been doing
Scully
this for years and everything.
Even though Mulder's been
yeah.
there. Like, but
with
her side
with
of
these
it.
Two, with these two, it's immediate. I mean, he's talking to the girl, you know, the sister, and then he gets choked up about something, but you don't, you know, it's just like, we don't know any other, either of their histories. We're kind of sort of finding things out. I mean, immediately we find out that his boss might not be, you know, telling him everything. You know, it's just like, I don't know. I just feel
there's
like
a lot dumped out.
This,
you're right.
This felt like for a premiere, this felt like at the very least, like a middle of the season episode.
Yeah.
So,
like a
I mean,
episode or something.
Yeah. It's just,
definitely,
you know, there's so many questions, you know, like the teleportation pills.
Yeah.
Why did, you know, the brother's death affect Brian the way that it did, you know, where I'm calling the people floating around in a circle, I'm calling it a dead NATO. But I guess they weren't dead.
I like
so
that.
That's not quite accurate.
I like
that's
that.
That's not quite accurate.
You can,
that's not quite accurate because they weren't dead.
No, I know. Okay, NATO.
It was kind of obvious that they were, you know, they were telling, you know, saying her grandmother's name or her mother's name. I mean, you know, it's just like, and they're already putting, you know, this has been going on for a while because they're already trying to put the spaceship back together with the debris. You know,
they have found a
even
lot
if
of
they
it.
Had
yeah.
maybe had it, even if they had maybe had it that like the agencies were working on it for a while, but like from our perspective, like they were new to it or something, maybe it would have felt a bit more grounded. Because I think that is what makes it so strange. I don't know that I mind it, but it does feel like we missed something. So I feel like the second episode will more tell us if that matters. You know what I mean? Like, are we still going to feel like that, or are they going to bring enough of what we missed back for us to understand what's going on? I don't know.
And that's the
yeah.
problem. Here
I mean,
we, you know, here we have a show like this that's obvious. I mean, it's obviously a mythology show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a monster, and we start with a monster of the week, and don't really get any mythology. I'm not really sure what their goal is.
Yeah. And you know, like, I guess I kind of felt like I could see reasons for creators making that decision that we're going to start this way. But as you sort of outlined, AJ, they did dump, like, a lot of information. Like, more and more and more information was dumped in there in a way, like, usually you get that amount of information halfway through the season. Like, there's a lot dumped out there. I also, a lot of people are not going to agree with what I'm saying, a lot of people out there in the internet world. I thought these two have no chemistry. Other people feel like they saw it. I thought these two partners do not click for me as, and I don't mean romantic chemistry, I just mean like two people on a screen having chemistry, like real people who work
mm-hmm.
together and are partners, and they both felt really flat to me.
I felt it
yes.
some, but not enough. That's why I said I feel like we need another one.
I agree with Karen.
Oh.
I didn't feel anything from the two of them as far as being partners. I mean, they're both keeping secrets from each other, so it's almost like they're keeping each other at a distance intentionally.
Yeah, well, they're also MI6 and CIA. I don't know that they necessarily normally get along.
I mean,
I see what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing. I just...
I'm going to go back to X-Files again. I mean, Mulder and Scully, when things first started, they were complete opposite sides of the spectrum, but they had chemistry as far as working together. You know, she was the science side, he was the believer side, and it worked. Whereas these two, they're barely in the same, I feel like they're not even on the same plane of existence together.
But yet they're supposed to have already worked with each other for a while. So yeah, it doesn't
exactly.
Really,
yeah, they've been partners for a while. I mean, I think they get along, but I just felt they were
right.
so blah. And so that guy who plays Brian, I forget the name of that actor, but
Jonathan
like,
Tucker.
You know, Jonathan Tucker.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
He's got a lot of experience on you know on shows with like real. I mean, he was on Justified. He was on Kingdom. He was on, I think he was on Snowfall. And so we know him from Westworld, and he plays a character who's really like. Okay, horrible, but charismatic and really like sort of a bit over the top. He plays Craddock on, or he played, I mean, Who knows? Just because he's already been killed like 3 or 4 times on Westworld because he's a host, right? and so I think he's dead, but you never know on Westworld if a host can come back. If he's, we don't know who all those cue balls belong to. But anyway, you know, Craddock was a very charismatic character. I mean, I'm not blaming the actor. I know that he's capable of doing really good work. I just found this to be, I found him really flat and boring. Like, I felt like he really, like, I felt like he didn't really want his job or like his job. And there's a point in the beginning where he can't be bothered to do the paperwork. He's either a gigantic chauvinist who thinks the woman should do the paperwork, or he just doesn't care enough about his job to fill out paperwork. And then
I
later
felt
he
like
makes
he didn't care.
Yeah, I felt like he didn't care about, like, if he doesn't care about his job, why should I care about his job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then later he makes this sort of speech about how, like, I mean, so they are on opposite sides because Vanula says, like, oh, I believe this can change humanity, which I wanted to puke because how many sci-fi shows have we heard that, like, dating back to the original Star Trek, probably? Oh, this can change humanity. And then he says, in the wrong hands, it could mean the end of humanity. And I wanted to puke at that horrible line also. But, like, they're on opposite sides of it. Like, she sees the good in this. He sees it as a weapon, and we see that. But I was kind of surprised to see him have any sort of feeling at all about this technology because in the opening scenes, he's like, you know, whatever, paperwork, but I don't care about my job. Like I really actually came – he's like the star, and I really came away from this episode feeling like he's a gigantic jerk. And I'm sorry that girl has to work with him. Not real life. I don't mean Jonathan Tucker's a jerk. I mean Brian's a jerk, and I'm sorry.
No, I know what you meant.
Yeah,
it was.
I don't know. He didn't come off quite that strong in that way to me, but I do think that they did seem like they weren't necessarily working as well together as maybe they should have been.
Yeah. I thought it looked good. I mean, it looks like a network show. They clearly have some budget for special effects. The dead NATO was maybe a little silly, but when the people were floating, like, slightly above the ground, that was
cool.
Kind of cool, right? That was
mm-hmm.
good.
Yeah, I thought there were a lot of, like, what the crap moments I enjoyed in this.
I mean, I feel like the instant I saw that kid, I was like, oh, he's an alien. Like, I thought he was an alien.
Yeah,
so we're not really sure what
obvious.
He was. But immediately,
yeah,
I'm like, oh, that when he's playing with that little monkey. And being like,
which just kept making me think of Phantom of the Opera. I don't know what the fuck he was this representing. That's all I kept thinking about was Phantom of the Opera. But I mean, I do think it was interesting that he was like a manifestation and not like actually an alien or something, but from the tech. But it was. I definitely agree that it was an odd one to pick for the first one. But I kind of. I don't know. I want to see where it goes, and I kind of appreciate the fact that they did do something different for a pilot, because usually we're complaining for the opposite reason. So I think that,
I mean,
that it's a strange choice, but I like that it was kind of different in that sense.
It's not clear to me that he wasn't an alien or some sort of alien intelligence, because there's a moment where Vanola says to Kieran, the little kid, she says, "You don't belong here," and he says, "I'm wanted here." And
maybe I took it different. So I totally took it to be that he was a manifestation of the grief that came from the technology.
Yeah,
what the technology was originally for, I don't know, but it was supposed to be a manifestation of hurry. It wasn't real.
Until he had an original thought, like we saw him over and over again reenacting the last moments of his life. Like,
yeah,
because
it came from her memory. That's why.
Yes, but then when Fanola says, "You don't belong here," and he says, "I am wanted here," that's not a reenactment of her memory. That's an original thought coming from that entity.
Right?
It knew that she needed it. But I still think that's why when somebody said maybe the tech sentient, that kind of made me wonder, made it maybe make a little bit more sense.
Okay,
I don't know.
But sentient is not tech. It's an intelligence.
Okay,
right?
Well... Then let's put it that way. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe
it's
I should
an alien
it.
Intelligence.
It's not just technology. It's got intelligence in it, yeah. It made me wonder if that is the case, because that makes it make a little more sense. But, yeah, I definitely did not think that he was supposed to be a real creature or anything. I thought it was supposed to totally be fabrication that came from her.
But it communicated.
But you're right when he said
like,
that.
It wasn't just, it reenacts the final. That actually interested me also.
Unless
because,
maybe it was a piece of artificial intelligence that was meant to, like,
That interested me partly
needed.
Because it interested me partly because not only, like, was it reenacting, it was reenacting, so the mother's grief causes it to happen, but it's reenacting actually the worst, kind of the worst memory. I mean, it's her most recent memory, so maybe the most, but, like, I would think that when you remember a person that you love and you lost, do you remember those last moments, or you remember, I don't know what you remember, but then...
Well, maybe that's what, like, she couldn't forget, because she blamed herself or whatever, I kind of figured.
But when it moved on to other people, like, it didn't take on their grief.
Right, because it was still connected to her. It just needed them as batteries. That's how I took it, which was a little strange, I admit. But it just needed more power to make itself stronger. Because like, I feel like at first it was just something she saw, and then it became like an actual manifestation. It was like because her grief was strong enough, and it's like it just kept building and building until it became a real manifestation. And then at that point it needed more, and that's why it started pulling more people in, because she couldn't, like, let go. And that's why he's like, I'm needed. Like, that's, I don't know. That part didn't really bother me, because that's kind of the way I understood it. But
I thought it was a little cuckoo. It doesn't make sense. And maybe it wasn't as well thought out. Maybe it gets better as they, I don't know. I don't know what you, I mean, AJ.
I agree with both of you, actually. I took it the same way Jamie did, but I agree. The problem is we have no rules. We have no rules yet.
Yeah, not yet.
We don't know what the rules for that situation are. Because again, we jumped into the middle of this. So we don't know how, you know, like, I took it the same way that he was a manifestation, but I felt that's a pretty potent manifestation, you know, that was brought on by a piece of tech. So, you know, I almost wonder if the ship is, like, organic in nature.
Yeah, that's kind of like what I was saying.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, impossible.
So.
We'll see. NBC has a bad track record with these kind of shows. So we'll see.
No,
I mean,
kidding.
Let's face it,
you know,
television in general has a bad track record with these kind of shows.
You know what,
has
you know
there
what,
really
though,
been
Karen?
A good one since Fringe? Yeah.
You know what the funny thing is? The whole time watching it, all I kept thinking was, I was getting a manifest vibe from it, but the whole time I'm thinking, I'm like, this is on NBC, and it made me flashback, and I'm thinking about Manifest, and I'm thinking about Revolution, and, you know, and I'm thinking,
wonder if we're going to get to see very much of it. I hope so. But
now, Emergence
Manifest
wasn't on NBC, but the event.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Fringe was on Fox.
I think we all do kind of feel that NBC tends to not give shows a chance the way.
Yeah, but Manifest is still
like,
going, so.
What is?
Manifest is terrible.
Manifest is terrible.
I haven't been watching
going.
It, so I have no comment. I'm just saying it's still on. My point was it's still on.
Yes, NBC doesn't have a good track record of letting these shows go on, so we'll see. But this is not like a pilot that I'm like, oh, I gotta see the next episode. I mean, I'll probably watch it. Cause
you know what?
We'll see. But
yeah, we'll see. I gotta say, it's been very hard. You know, I mean, you could probably count on one hand all the truly great shows that have ever been on network television. And it's getting even harder because the technology is changing. It's getting more expensive, you know, and things, you know, it's just like, and there's so many channels out there and there's so many people going to cable because you don't have the restrictions you do on network television. So I feel like the reason we're getting some of this crap on network television is because it's the bottom of the barrel just so network television has something to put on. You know,
network television isn't known for science fiction necessarily either. So
no, but on
genre TV in general.
On the other hand, network has the budget for something like this.
But the thing is, a lot of the good stuff's going to streaming too, and I feel like in a sense it does better there because you can binge the whole season at once too, with a lot of it. Like even
but
if
like,
it doesn't come back, like at least you get to see the whole picture.
I mean, yeah, they might have the budget
for
stuff.
They have a lot of restrictions.
But, There's so many restrictions. There's, you know, language, nudity, and, you know, and everything else that they're restricted by. You know, they've got, you know, commercials running, you know, with all that and everything, product placement. They've got a lot more hurdles, and I feel like
this is not a program that requires language or nudity.
I'm not saying this does. What I'm saying is, I feel like more and more the network shows, they're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel with high concept shows.
Well,
they have a lot of other restrictions too, though. Obviously, it's not just the nudity and the
They're risk averse. I think because of the budgets involved, they're risk averse. At any rate, this one, at this point, I can't say if I think Debris will make it or not. I don't feel like this show is like, I can't say right now it's headed for cancellation or that it's headed for renewal.
I don't know. But I liked it a lot better than both of you, because I automatically, like, once I saw it, I knew right away, like, I was in love with this show, but that's me.
I mean, it's an interesting concept. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's on the fence. I mean, it's an interesting concept, and it could work, but, I mean, it's the first episode, so.
Yeah, I definitely
think
I definitely think they need to make more sense and everything, but I did like it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I would not watch it again if we were not going to cover it on this show, because it was just too boring.
I'd give it
It again, because we're going to talk about it next week.
Got to give it a look past the pilot, though, I feel don't love it.
I mean, they're like, I didn't really like The Expanse for the first couple episodes, and now I think it's
television. Yeah, no, you never know. I mean, that's why it's kind of bad when they have a pilot. That's why I always say, and I always say it too, that like a lot of times they do so much better if they release the first two episodes at once with the show, but they don't. Because usually you have the pilot like bogged down, and then you can see the next one that's more enjoyable. I know. That's what I said. I say it all the time. It still rings true to me. I think they should
do it. All right, fine. If you start saying, just wait till episode 7, I'm going to be like, forget it, Jamie.
No, yeah, you don't have to like it. That doesn't mean I won't keep watching it, but No, I don't.
Yeah. I really didn't like The Expanse in the beginning, and I think there are other shows that I didn't really, you know, love so much, and I came to like a lot, so I'll give it another week.
Oh, no, I never gave Expanse enough time. Although I've seen like 6 of them, I think, and I still didn't get into it.
It's funny.
So
I have two friends who have just started The Expanse, and they're complaining that it's boring. And I'm like, oh my God, please just watch a couple more.
Which is kind of strange because I love sci-fi, but a lot of times sometimes the ones that are like pure, like drawn out space opera, I get a little bored with. And I mean, I love Battlestar Galactica, so that's not to say it didn't, but there were still certain parts of that that kind of had that to me. Like, I don't know. I think I like when they're not on the spaceship the whole time. Not that they were on the
Expanse, you know me,
but just saying in general.
I hated Battlestar from the premiere to the finale. I hated every single episode of Battlestar Galactica for like 6 seasons or whatever it ran. I watched the whole damn thing and I hated every minute of it. So I'm with you on that.
I do think it got boring at times, but I did like Galactica overall.
Which
surprises me, because Galactica is very political, and you usually tend to like the stories that are
more
based around that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and I hated it. Yeah.
I think that's why I may not like Expanse as much, because it was more about that and less about the sci-fi.
It's politically complex. It is.
Yeah. Although I should have given it more time. I mean, it's kind of hard. Once you get to a certain point behind on something, though, it's kind of hard to catch up, you know, live when it's still on.
Yeah.
At least for me, because I never have enough time to watch everything.
Yeah. All right. Are we good on this show, Debris? What do you guys want to... We got 2 more shows tonight, right?
Yeah. Snowpiercer.
Oh, let's start with Resident Alien first, because it's bad and we can talk about it faster.
She's like, it's bad.
I don't remember
specifics about like this episode, because they were all running together to me at this point, because I had seen them so long ago, but except for the few newer ones. But I don't know, I like this whole season so far. I say that each time, so obviously I enjoyed it more than Karen did. Did you like it, AJ?
Um, And I'm enjoying it just because it's funny. I'm not expecting too much from it.
Yeah,
there was a couple things that did bother me. I think, you know, as much as we loved Max and Harry as adversaries, I think it's going to be even more fun now that they're kind of on the same page together. I think that is going to make things a lot of fun. Yeah, they have this little
yeah.
Like, you see them at the diner there. Like, once they, like, came to an understanding and they start asking each other questions, and, you know, and, like, you know, they seem to be having a good time. So I think that's going to make things even more interesting, because I think now Max is actually going to help him kind of hide, you know, kind of, like, be incognito a little better because of Max. I think it's going to even give more laughs. The problem I had with the episode is how nonchalant people are in this town. I mean, last week Harry blows up, asked the spot about Jane. And this week, you know, after telling her the story about how his wife's dead, which obviously he's talking about his real wife on the alien planet, and then finds out he has, you know, Harry has a wife, and then asked upon meeting her, she's like, "You said your wife was dead." And she's like, "Do I look dead?" And she threw something at him, whatever. And Asta just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, and then you got annoying Darcy. Darcy's become annoying. So annoying. I liked her at first, but now I hate every time she's on the screen. You know, her and, I don't even know what his wife's name is. They're in the bar talking and everything, and they make the joke, "Oh, wouldn't that be funny if we were talking about the same guy?" You know, and then Darcy shows, now I'm pretty sure, you know, I mean, Darcy's a fruit basket, but she breaks up with him and then talks about him like he's her boyfriend, and then goes over there with whatever in mind, and then sees her with him, and she's like, "Oh, damn it," and just walks away. Like, Darcy makes no sense at all. But I just feel like everybody lets each other off the hook very easily in this town.
Well,
but
the only thing is, I wonder if they did it too much, though, if it would make it less funny. Like, some of the ridiculousness in this show, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but sometimes I think the ridiculousness of it does help to make it funny. But, yeah, I agree, because I always think, like, he acts so bizarre. Like, that.
Well, not even that, though. Like,
not,
but I'm talking about,
they
like,
react different than they do. They would... I mean, yeah,
but, I mean,
yes, when he does bad things. I know what you mean. Like, forgiving him for things he does,
too. This is 2 weeks in a row. But this is 2 weeks in a row that
he
has done something with Asta. Asta is letting him off way too easy.
It's like, oh, I forgive you.
As far as she's concerned,
even though I should hate you.
As far as she's concerned, he lied about the wife, and he blew up her spot. Now, she doesn't understand that he doesn't understand what he did. But that's not something you just forgive and be like, "Oh, it worked out for the best." It did not work out for the best, because Jay wanted to talk to her now.
I do agree with you on that sense. But I was just saying,
however,
in addition to that, sometimes it irritates me that, like, people let him be so, so weird and don't make a comment. Like, in real life, people would look at him a lot more funny than they do, you know?
However, I am enjoying the sheriff more now. And it was kind of nice to see him with his dad. I said to Artie, I was like, "Oh, look, there's two black people in town." you know, seeing the way his dad talked to him, I kind of get why he is the way he is a little bit more. But he was actually not as ridiculous as he usually is. I mean, yeah, he kind of got excited when he found out that the other doctor was definitely poisoned. He was a little too happy about that, but But he's been better the last 2 weeks. He hasn't been as annoying.
Well,
what do you think, Karen?
Yeah, I mean, I think in that scene that they did take a step towards making that character seem more human and more real, and like maybe you got a little bit of understanding of like, yeah, how mean his father is to him, and not necessarily in a joking way. Like, I was like, "Oh, so he's got a mean dad." And also, like, he was a big city cop, and he left for the small town for his father's health. And so when he's frustrated that there's no violent crime, it's kind of a sick and stupid thing he says. But then you come around to be like, okay, he's like, is this a guy who's, like, wasting his experience, wasting his talent, wasting his vision? You know, like, this is not what he wanted to do with his life. And he did it for his father. And so, I did like that scene, and I liked him a little bit better. One of the things I really am growing to, I'm growing to really be offended by this show. I'm starting to really not like the show because every single female character on this show is self-loathing or desperate or like insecure or like there's not a strong, decent female. Like I hate Darcy also. And partly because like she just reeks of desperation for any man, including Harry is like the most inappropriate, ridiculous, awful person. And she's so desperate for him to like want to, right? And like Darcy is so, I mean, she's so horrible. And then like, okay, Asta is a little more complex of a character, but she's very self-loathing, insecure. She allows Harry to do these horrible, horrible things to her week after week and never calls him on it. Like he outed her with Jay, and then yeah, he's been lying to her and all the stuff, and she does nothing about it. His ex-wife is the most ridiculous character of all because like they're about to get divorced and she shows up. He's a total dick to her, and he says to her, yeah, make sure you scrub the pans before you leave. And what does she do? She starts singing a song to him to, like, seduce him, to have sex with him. Like, why would she want this man? She clearly didn't want him when he was a normal human. And now he's, like, so, like, in what world would his actions make her want him back? Like, that was just ridiculous to me. She's a horrible character. I hope she leaves.
Completely agree.
And when Harry was starting to actually like her at the end.
Yeah, I don't like that character all that much.
Like,
I agree with that.
Is he feeling the real Harry's emotions, or is he actually liking her? Because that made no sense to me.
I think he's one of
the deputy.
Out of a lot of things.
I'm growing more and more sick of it. Like I like the deputy and she's a nice person, but her inability to ever speak up for herself is a little frustrating, and it just bothers me that there's not a single woman. Like the show writes all the women are pathetic on the show. And like as a woman, I'm like offended by this show. And Alan Tudyk being, you know, he's funny, but he's like there's not really anything likable about that about Harry. He's rude. He's horrible. And then he has these very like he has these very simple lessons that are learned in like 1 second at the end. And there's not one character like the kids or I'd watch a show about those two kids. Like two kids are the best people on the show, right? Especially the little girl. That little girl, she steals every scene from Max. Like, Max steals scenes that he's in, but she steals the scene. When she said, excuse me, Max, the adults are talking and put her hand up, like, I hope her father is a woman on the show who can, like, speak for herself. Yeah. I don't know. Do you guys find the women as offensive as I do?
I don't, but I mean, I see what you're saying when, like, I really think about it, but I mean, I don't think they're that weak. I don't know. I didn't find them that weak of characters. Darcy doesn't make a lot of sense. Darcy's just Darcy, and I never understood why she wanted him in the first place, but that's because you're right. He is a horrible person. Because
she's pathetically
I don't know.
Desperate for any man.
Yeah. I think, though, it's interesting, like, she doesn't apologize for it. Like, she just wants to sleep around with them, and I don't know that necessarily, I don't know. I get what you're saying. Because
she's pathetic. I also didn't like the scene where Darcy slut-shamed that woman in the bar, that woman who comes in while Darcy's talking to Harry's wife.
Yeah, they do it to each
other.
They're, like, best friends or whatever. That's just kind of like their thing supposed to be since they were little.
Literal than I do. The only female, like, friendship and banter we see on the show is, like, slut-shaming each other. And I just, this show is not doing right by its female characters.
I don't know. I do agree, though, in the sense, and get what you're saying about Harry not being likable. Like, he's doing such horrible things, you shouldn't like him. But I just find it that like it's so funny I still enjoy it, but that's kind of the weird part of it. It's like as much as I like him because he's funny, like you wouldn't like him if you were there. I don't know, but I just find it odd, and I find him becoming more humanized obviously the more it goes. So I don't know, I don't have a lot of the problems you have with it, but I'm kind of like AJ. I'm not expecting it to be kind of like this deep insightful thing. I just take it for it's funny it doesn't really
I guess. I
bother
guess I need
me in
more
the way
than
it bothers
just,
you.
I need more than just an hour of rudeness. Like his rudeness is,
you know what it is,
wearing on me also.
Karen, you don't do comedy well. And
no,
I agree with a lot what you're saying.
I just think it's
I agree
so
with
funny.
A lot what you're saying, though,
yeah.
Karen.
Yeah. Like, more
no,
and
yeah,
more,
I do
it's
too.
An hour,
it doesn't irritate me.
It's an hour of Harry being rude, and, like, that was funny. For like, it's a one-joke show. Like, the show has one...
Yeah.
Okay, granted, I was watching, and there were zero dick jokes in this episode.
I noticed that, and I thought about you.
You know what I feel
I
like?
I intended
this
to
is...
count them. I was
going
to count them
like,
and be like,
this...
Jamie, there were six.
No, but there weren't. No, but you know what I kind of think, thinking this, and it's strange I'm saying this because I do enjoy this so much, but I feel like this show is more like, it's a raunchy show, right? And I feel like maybe this show is more geared towards men than women. Because that's why I said, I'm sometimes surprised I like this show. Like, I don't normally wouldn't think that I would because I'm not big on comedy. But I don't know. I find it so funny. But, like, I totally get the things that you're offended by. They just don't necessarily, like, I'm not putting too much into it, I guess. Like, I just look at it as it's funny and it's light.
I guess. I need,
and I don't take it
like,
seriously.
Even rude characters, I need there to be some level of motivation that makes sense for any of them. And the only person who has any real motivation on the show is Max. Like, he's the only person whose actions are coming from a place that is explained and understandable. Like, he knows there's an alien and he's scared of him.
True.
Yeah. I really... I'm concerned about this wife storyline. Like, I don't...
Yeah, I didn't
like
yeah,
that,
that
Harry's starting to like her. I don't like that she's sticking around. And it's not really... Wish I understood better why... Like, they were just getting divorced, and that was presented as a fait accompli, except he didn't sign the papers. Like, and then suddenly for his wife to want him back when it appears that she initiated the divorce and wanted the divorce, mm-hmm. and now all of a sudden she's like it doesn't...
Yeah,
it just doesn't make sense to me why she would... I mean, and he didn't speak to her for, like, months and months and months. There's been no communication, right? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me, except that she's another, like, pathetic woman who, like, oh, thank God a man is, like, paying attention to me, I guess? And so if she's going to stay around and, like, be his wife on the show, like, that, I mean... She's not going to stay in patience. She's a New York City artist, right? She's got to go home. And it also complicates, like, his relationship with everybody else in the town. I kind of wish they'd played her for a one-episode joke and gotten rid of her at the end. And maybe they'll play her for a two-episode joke and get rid of her next week. If we're lucky. Right? I mean, I guess none of us really thought that works for her to stay. Or makes sense.
No, yeah,
none
I definitely
really like
would say
that.
She's been my least favorite character. I think she just complicated things, and it really didn't work for me,
like, in a level of comedy that paid off. Like, when she came and wanted the paper signs, like, okay, that made sense for, like, a bunch of jokes, and, like, she had keys to the house, and there's stuff in the house, and there was a little bit of a, like, danger that she might find something, but for her to stick around, like, really at the end for Harry to, like, start to have feelings for her is the most problematic part for me, I guess. I mean, because it doesn't make any sense, right? But anyway, yeah, I don't like her. But, yeah, I don't like the show.
That's okay. You don't got to keep watching it either. Me and AJ can keep talking about
not.
It.
I might not, except it gives me something to be outraged at.
AJ, you still there? You got real quiet. Did he drop out or just got quiet?
No, I was letting Karen.
No, you're just quiet. Okay, I just wondered.
Say her piece.
Who's
letting me have my rant?
Quiet.
It was Karen's ranting time.
You're allowed to rant. All right. Well, do we want to move on to Snowpiercer?
Sure.
I do want to say though, before we do, I happened to find this because I had up the Sci-Fi Wire recap. To kind of remind myself what it was about. And they have an article, exclusive article, about the illustrations for the, like, the manual things that they have
the
in the opening, which
are
so funny.
Yeah,
I can't obviously can't read the whole thing while I'm talking. I'm not really reading it, but it has a lot of the pictures.
Oh, for Resident Alien,
some,
you mean?
Yeah, sorry. And yeah, and it has some of the unpublished ones. One of them, they have part of, like, it looks like the kid's room, I think, and there's like an I Want to Believe poster. I totally missed that if they had it, but some of this is supposed to be things that I guess never made it into the show. Like I said, I couldn't really read the whole article because I'm talking to you guys, but I'm looking at the pictures. There's some cool illustrations because those things are so funny that they put at the beginning of the episodes. I love those. So anyway, I just thought I'd mention that in case you guys wanted to, or, well, you probably don't, in case AJ wanted to look at them. Anyway,
that's
all right.
Funny,
well,
I thought you meant. At first, I thought you meant Snowpiercer because they have.
No, that's
what
I said before
drawing.
We moved on. That's my fault. I didn't explain it. But no, the little drawings that they have that look like airplane instructions or whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Snowpiercer. I did not think we were going to get this episode. Get one like this. It was like all Melanie's showing what happened there. I'm glad we did, and I like that we got some flashback of sort of originally what happened. Although the main comment I have about this episode is all I kept thinking is Karen is going to hate this because all it is stupid hallucinations, which also annoyed me, I have to admit. I liked in a way because they used it for like storytelling and it at least made it not, like I feel like if they didn't, it might have been more boring because she's the only one there. So I kind of got that they did it, but I kept thinking about Karen and thinking, she's going to be so, you know, so annoyed at this, and that part was kind of annoying. But I did like the flashbacks. That was kind of the part I did like, because I did think that we got to get some of this backstory we missed. You guys can talk. I just want to get that in before you started.
It's funny. I actually, 2 weeks ago, made a comment that I felt like we were going to get an all Melanie episode, which I thought was going to happen last week. And when we didn't get it, last week, I thought, I guess we're not going to get it. And then we got it this week, and I was like, actually, when it was over, I said to Artie, I was like, you know, I wanted this episode. I don't want it anymore.
See, that's
it
why I didn't think we had a whole episode. I think it could have been
it was
only
not as good as I thought it was going to be. I was expecting a lot more from the episode. We got a couple flashbacks, which basically we just visually saw stuff we already knew. The only thing in this episode that moved us forward at all was when she found the geothermal vent. That's the only thing. And you know what's actually funny is at the beginning of the episode, when Melanie – we're not even going to discuss the where the snowmobile came from, so that might aggravate me. But when she was going, you know, towards the place on the snowmobile at the beginning of the episode, Artie said, he's like, you know, instead of living life on the train, he's like, why didn't anybody think to, like, go underground and see what – if they can sustain life down there and then – sure enough, in the episode, we end up with I was like, good call, Artie.
You said that, though, and I'm still thinking, huh, that was smart. They should have done that. So, yeah, that was pretty smart.
Yeah.
At least they got her some food.
Go ahead. No, you go, Jamie. Go ahead.
No, this is an opinion. I was just going to ask you guys. My question is what I'm kind of wondering, because truthfully, we really don't know. Do you think her being left behind and chasing after the train, do you think that's still a hallucination, or do you think that that's really what happened? Because to me it was left that, like, it was supposed to be what happened, but you don't really know because she was still imagining her daughter being there with her, so it was hard to tell. She could have still been passed out.
I personally feel it was a hallucination because otherwise
she's going to
wait another month. Why is the train on fire?
Oh, I forgot about that.
And she's got, and there's no way she survives another month.
Yeah.
So I think it's a continued hallucination.
So I was watching it, and I'm like, oh, this is a dream, this is a dream, this is a dream. This is not real, right? And I felt like, okay, could the sparks be coming from the breaking? To me, one of the things that made it really seem like a dream, a hallucination, was Alex in the back window, like, screaming, mom, 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 First of all, because Snowpiercer doesn't have a back window. It has an engine at either end, right? It has Big Alice at one end and Snowpiercer at the other.
Well, it's two and also,
Big
Alice, right?
Also, it was made very clear that they had to take a sidetrack and go up this big mountain to drop her off. And if you don't want to pick her up, just don't go up that big track. Like, we know that Wilford doesn't want her on the train, but why even go up the Rocky Mountain Pass or whatever it is they went up, which was, remember, very risky and they weren't sure the train was going to make it and all the stuff. Like, but Wilford had control of the train.
Yeah.
Coming
the only,
back,
on the other hand.
But they're going to, hold on. I just want to clarify something for you real quick. They're going to double back, which means they're going to turn around and come back the same way they went there in the first place.
Oh, okay.
So they don't have to go up that. They don't have
world.
To go up
yeah.
the hill again. They don't have to go up the hill again.
Right.
They're going to have to go
down
the hill.
They're hitting
now,
the brakes too hard.
On the other hand, in favor of it being real, is the fact that it is bullshit to have a cliffhanger that's a hallucination. That is bullshit storytelling. And so, for next week when it's a hallucination, I'm going to be like, you guys, that sucks. They have this big like. Cliffhanger and it's not real,
yeah.
right?
We know you
so
hate
hallucinations. I feel like that's a little bit in favor of it being real. Would be that it would be a better, it would be better
yeah.
storytelling to have it just
the
be real.
The thing that right? I kind of, but you're right though that maybe the fire thing was the brakes. Maybe they're trying to stop or something. I don't know. But the thing that makes me question it that I kind of wondered if it wasn't real and unless I misunderstood it or something is there was the whole point that they got that the first link up for the balloon. They got, and everybody was happy.
Yeah.
The second time, they totally lied and faked it, right? So
right.
I'm kind of questioning that she got all 12 balloon link-ups, and it must have been, like, that whole period of time, and to them, she never contacted them. Like, I know, obviously, that this could be going further into the future than what we see in the other part of the show, but it just seems strange to me that on there, we only know that we didn't even know she got past two, and suddenly she got all 12. I don't know. It was kind of weird to me that suddenly they all went.
Well,
like,
I mean,
didn't know about
one
it.
Thing
that makes sense. I don't know.
But it went, I like that it went ahead of time on the train. Like,
right,
yeah.
But I'm saying that might be one of
the
maybe that's
days.
Why it wasn't real. But
like,
yeah,
the
they
next
showed
scene,
more of it.
The next episode would be back on Snowpiercer and would essentially be a flashback to what's been happening while. She's in the while she's in this bunker, right? And I do like that. I mean, I like these kind of narrative, like these changes in different types of storytelling. That's interesting.
Yeah, I agree. As long
like
as it wasn't
doing
in her head,
that.
That's what made me wonder if it was.
But you know, it being, but I mean, it's possible. One thing we've talked about a lot with I want to say, I'm trying to say the actor's name, Daveed Diggs, and with Leighton. One thing we've talked about with Leighton and not really ever really gotten that deep into, but the idea that he's been an unreliable narrator, and we've talked about that. Like, everything we see, particularly in season one, has been all through Leighton's attitude, and he's our star, he's our protagonist, and so... Like, Melanie is, like, the ultimate reliable narrator in this episode. She's hallucinating, right? So.
And that's the other thing, though.
I just don't know how much.
She knows
she's
hallucinating.
So she's not completely nuts.
So,
I thought that, too.
Which is what, but that's what makes me question the train at the end.
Well,
even
yeah,
at the end, like
she
was seeing her daughter, she wasn't even the same age then. She was seeing her as a little kid again, which means she was going a little more backwards, maybe.
So,
sorry, go ahead.
I didn't really. This episode, I didn't really love this episode. I thought it was not great. There's a lot to like and a lot not to like. I mean. A whole episode of Jennifer Connelly, that's great, right? I mean, we haven't seen her really for several episodes. She's a strong actress, and I liked seeing her act out some of this stuff. I don't love an episode that's entirely made up of hallucinations. And I saw, there were some other reviewers, and in particular I want to mention TV Daily News was one who compared what we saw in this episode to A Christmas Carol and how Scrooge sees the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future, and how Wilford's her past, Leighton's her present, Alex is her future.
That's interesting.
And we see them at different points in the episode. Yeah, it's an interesting analogy, isn't
yeah.
it? So I wanted to give credit
yeah,
to the place
cool.
where I saw it. And you know, that was all, like, seen sort of from Scrooge's point of view. I didn't necessarily love the Wilford parts of it, because, first of all, like, he's, like, Negan. I'm like, will you ever just shut up for 1 minute, right? Like, he never shuts
even,
up.
Even in her imagination, he's not
yes.
that annoying.
and the flashback to the day the train left, I mean, it didn't really give us anything we didn't already know. Like, we already knew he's a horrible, horrible, murderous person, and that we knew Melanie was justified in stealing the train. We knew how she had to leave without her daughter. Like, we knew all of that. And so, yes, we got more scenes of Wilford's. We got more scenes of Wilford's depravity and that he shot all these geneticists and whatever, and he was. But I don't feel like that really provided me with any new information. Right? Like, I don't know. A lot of people love those scenes. I just felt like, okay, I knew this. Like, I didn't really need that. Like, I'm sorry, did I not hate Wilford already? Did I need that to make me hate Wilford more?
We didn't need it.
Actually,
I appreciate, like, seeing her make that decision, like the struggle of her leaving her family and everything. Like, you're right, we totally knew it, but I liked seeing it. I don't know.
The one thing that I did not previously know that I thought was really funny was when she yelled at him about the brothel. She's like, we have more important things, and you're building a brothel. And he's like, it's not a brothel,
like,
it's a nightclub. She's like, yeah, it's a brothel.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I, yeah. I mean, in that regard, I think the hallucination scenes with him were more interesting than the flashback. I mean, so we know that the hallucination is really Melanie's internal monologue, right? And how she,
right.
what she's
right.
thinking and her feelings and whatever. And, you know, he really was very much like, I mean, typical of him. He's that voice in her head saying, you're not good enough, you can't do it, you're nothing without me, right? Then we get Leighton. I mean, for me, the Leighton hallucinations were the best, I think, of the three.
They were funny,
especially
too.
That part where he's talking about she might have to eat the frozen arm, and he's, like, giving her a hard time because they were reduced to cannibalism in the tail, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought those were great and well played. And I forgot how much I missed the two of them together because they play well together.
Yeah.
And then the Alex scenes. Yeah, Alex is like what she wants her future to be. So, I mean, the Alex scenes were okay, but not great. I guess it just didn't, I mean, I guess there just wasn't enough story to fill out a whole hour of her sitting alone.
That's
in this
the thing. Maybe we should have
seen
less, maybe, and not a whole hour.
So they had to fill it out.
I have a question on logistics. Okay, so the beginning, like, obviously the avalanche crushes her sled or whatever that had the food and who knows what else on it.
Yeah.
And that's why she couldn't have the food. But what I didn't understand is, I thought that she needed part of what was on there for the battery, because I thought the whole thing was she actually had to have all this stuff to be able to get to and from the base. And yet, again, we don't know if it really happened, but she's able to run out into the snow with nothing to chase after the train. And that was, I was kind of like, how does that even make sense? How does she even have the battery? Which, again, makes me wonder if it actually happened.
Maybe
but,
it's a hallucination.
Yeah, I don't know. Because that, to me, I was kind of like, I thought she had to have that. Like, how did she be okay without it when it was so important? But I don't really know what she lost other than food, though. I mean, it really didn't say. So, I mean, she still had, it looks like she still had battery power cells, but I thought the battery thing was what was on the sled.
So I don't think that, so you raise a good point, because they made a big deal several episodes ago that they needed carts that were on Big Alice, and they had to, like, they had that dinner party in the night car as a trade for the parts they needed, right? They needed parts for her to go do this job. I thought they were parts she needed for the video, for the uplink, for this climate thing she's making in the video upgrade. But it doesn't really matter
maybe.
If you're right or I'm
that
right. What
sense.
Matters
they
is
didn't
they,
connect
what matters what matters is that they made a huge deal that she needed these parts, and then they're destroyed by an avalanche and she doesn't have them and somehow is successful anyway.
Yeah.
Right? That's the loose link in the story. to lose.
Yeah, but I also thought it meant there was no way she could get back. That was what was confusing to me, that she's suddenly able to, but again, that may not have happened, but that she's able just to, like, oh, take off and run towards a train. And that's the other thing, too, about the cold. It's supposed to be so sub-zero weather that they can't survive in it, right? And, yes, she's going into the station and turning it on, and there's going to be heat, and that's understood. But my concern is, it seemed like she had the power on, but yet she survived an awful long time in the suit, and then she must have, I guess, had the power on when she took her head thing off, but it seemed to me like she wasn't even supposed to have gotten the whole thing back up and running yet, and she's already taken her snowsuit off, and I'm like, how is she even there and not freezing to death? I don't know. They played a little loose with that, in my opinion. Not that it necessarily mattered, but I was just thinking about it through it.
I mean, we do see her repeatedly, like, brushing the snow off the solar panels. I mean, so it's supposed to be too cold to snow, but I guess that's snow that's been, like, piled up there for 17 years or 7 years or whatever. And we do see her going out there to make sure the panels will work. But, yeah, she does seem to – you're right. I mean, she gets inside – well, she has a little tent. Like, she pops up a tent and has a little portable heater that she turns on inside the little tent when she first gets in there. Remember?
That's true, yeah. Yeah, but it's just her suit's supposed to be so dead of battery, too, and it's like she's still out there in the snow, and she passed out and everything, and somehow she didn't freeze to death. So, I don't know. I'm just being picky, but
– but you don't really know how much of this is – you know, we don't really know – again, unreliable. We don't really know the time frame, how long that was. We don't know what she's imagining, what she's in her memory, what she's recounting.
Well, she passed out with her battery about dead, but...
Yeah, I didn't really follow any of that. With I didn't really get what you're saying, because I wasn't really...
It kept showing her battery pack going down. She only had so long to stay out in the cold, and she was trying to pull that thing back up that fell, and, like, somehow she passed out in the snow, and she woke up, and she was okay.
Batteries don't even work in the
cold.
Batteries don't even work... Batteries don't even work in cold weather. Like, you can't even let your
cell phone
get cold.
This is a special snowsuit that they made when they have skin grafts that heal skin, so we don't know. you're right. I get it. But that's what I'm just saying. It was a little far-fetched for me in places, but sometimes that lets you ruin it too much when you get too into it, but sometimes hard not to.
I mean, it's more far-fetched that somehow a crack opened up in the Earth's crust that let, like, it's so hot in there that, like this back room is so hot, and yet it wasn't hot. Like, she just goes through some. It wasn't hot in the room she was in, right? Like, no.
Yeah, like she had to tear down the wall to even find it. Like, some of that heat would have seeped in.
Well, as a person who lives in an apartment that's freaking hot all the time, and my heat is turned off, and it's so hot in here, like, I can't. Like yes, she would have probably noticed how hot it was in there. Or at least not freezing it wasn't there, and she just chopped through a little drywall. Like, that was all a little crazy, and there's all this lichen growing in
it.
Like, the rats have been living on lichen, it looks like, for all this time, and dead bodies. Although they would have, the rats would have cleaned that dead body.
I dyed the rat's feet, put the stuff on it. I was happy because I'm like, please don't go. Like, that little rat's so cute. I knew she was going to have to eat some of them, but at least they didn't show her killing that rat. I'm like, you better let that one live. It saved your life.
As a city dweller, I'm telling you, rats are disgusting. But and that rat
that was a
would
little
have,
fuzzy, cute mouse. That one didn't look disgusting. Whether they are
the rats
or not, that
would have the rats would have eaten that dead body down to the bones by the time Melanie got there.
I know, because that's what I was thinking too. She's following it, and how does she know that its food source isn't that it had a dead body back there? That was what I kind of assumed.
Well, it wasn't. That body was perfectly preserved. That woman sitting in the chair was perfect. Like, no rat had ever bitten her at all.
Right.
Crazy.
But I thought it could have had another body back there. But yeah, you're right.
The rats
would
have eaten
been...
her within a week of her dying.
Yeah. No, you're right. Although if the heat wasn't
anyway,
on in there, though, they might have stayed where the vent was, but still.
No, they would have eaten it. They would have totally eaten it. I see rats eating garbage all the time in town, right? They're, not all the time, not where I live, but if I go downtown, I see them. I mean, anybody who's been in a city sees that. So it was all a little crazy, but... You know, they had to do something to make her survive. And I guess, in theory, Melanie can live on rats for a couple weeks. I mean, there's not enough rats. She can't stay there a year, but she could stay there, like, another month, probably, eating rats and lichen, right? I mean, she won't be healthy when they find her, but she'll be alive when they find her. If it's not a... if it's not a dream, like maybe it's not a dream, maybe it's real, and they've got to have some sort of complication on the train to turn around and get back and get her.
I definitely think
in the end, where they left her behind. If she's been left behind, like, is Jennifer Connelly off the show? I don't think that way. That's not how Melanie Cavill leaves the show.
Yeah, I totally think she's going to be saved regardless.
I could see her not making it to the end of the show because, I mean, this show might do that, and Jennifer Connelly
maybe,
might.
Maybe, but it didn't seem like now is the right time.
Yes, and this is not how she goes out. Like, she can't go out without a confrontation with Wilford. Like, right? Like, for Wilford to just win this one.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't think Leighton can rule the train without her. Really.
Right.
Like, it's becoming clearer and clearer that the train needs her. I mean, we know she's very capable, but a lot of them on the train don't realize that and are going to come to realize that.
Yeah. She kept them alive.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess I'd give this one about a 6 also. Or, I mean, parts of it were a 7. Or, I mean, parts of it maybe were like an 8. Like, there were a couple really good, you know, Jennifer Connelly's work was good. The scenes with Leighton were good, but... Like, overall, it just, I thought it was kind of boring. I thought it was very slow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I
like some of it. Some of it was crazy. I don't think we needed a whole episode of it.
It's hard to really do an episode of a person alone in a room for 30 days. I'll give them
right.
That,
that's why I said as much as the hallucinations were a bit annoying, I feel like it gave it more substance by putting more people in there and bought some comedy to
it. It gave us inner monologue of
Melanie,
you know.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, interestingly, this is a pre-COVID. They shot the whole first two seasons together. This is far, far pre-COVID. They didn't, like, do this.
Oh, that's right.
Because of distancing. This was in the can over a year ago.
Yeah. Has it been renewed? I'm thinking it has,
yes,
but I can't remember for sure.
It's
okay.
Yes, it's renewed.
It was renewed.
And they
renewed it a week before the premiere of season 2.
That's what I thought, but I couldn't remember for sure.
Yeah, they actually released some casting news for season 3. Archie Punjabi is coming in season 3. She's on The Good Wife, and she's done a bunch of other stuff. And so they're already announcing casting for the next season. I don't know who she's going to be or what she's going to do or, like, I mean, new people. Probably with 3,000 people on the train, new characters can be anybody. Although with this heat source that Melanie discovered, like, you have to wonder, like, at one point, like, will they get off the train at any point? I hope not, because that would defeat the whole point of the show. But could there be people, like, who survived somehow? Like,
I think,
like,
that
Artie said, maybe some people moved underground.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean,
I guess that about wraps it.
Yeah, the only thing I do want to mention before we go, I can't remember, maybe I said it last week, I don't remember, but the interview with two of the actors from Debris is up if people want to see it, want to read it. And
Are the two villains, right?
Well, I don't know if the one's a villain or not. We don't really know. But the one who plays the CIA boss and Norbert, and then the one who Scroobius is the one who is the one of the guys that has the one nacho that's like with the anti-government group or whatever. I get the feeling, and I don't know. This is a total guess.
No, the black market guy with the giant beard.
Yes, not the one who was killed.
Well,
I get the feeling, that they've probably got a much bigger part and they just weren't in the pilot a lot, because from what they're saying, that it sounds like that there's more to it, hopefully. But they kind of talk a bit more about their characters. But that's up if people want to read it. And the one for Wynonna will be up before the premiere on Friday, because it comes back Friday.
No, it doesn't. It's going to come back to, like, April 1st, right? It's going to be back Friday?
Let me see. I have it written down. I'm pretty sure, unless I got it messed up, which is also possible knowing me. But from what I got written down, it's March 5th.
Oh, all right.
They might have changed
it
from before, because I'm pretty sure that that's accurate, but
That's the second half of the season, right? That's the second half of the season.
Yeah, and it has
delayed.
It's not being renewed, so that's the end of the show, or these last episodes. Also, I know that it is obviously in sci-fi and we don't talk about it, but the Lou Diamond Phillips article for Prodigal Son is up too, which is actually a really good interview, I think.
It's a lot of good things.
So those are there, and people can check them out, and obviously there are more For All Mankind stuff coming that you're doing tomorrow, and more TCA stuff coming still for Fox, so.
Yes, I watched AJ, I've binged all of For All Mankind on Apple TV.
You know, I saw a commercial for that one day. And all I could think about was the 100.
Oh, really?
nothing
Remember
like that.
That was their slogan. That was their slogan.
Yeah, that was their slogan.
Oh, okay.
For All Mankind, yeah. You know, it's interesting that it's an alternate history of, what if the space program, what if we beat the Russians? And NASA put a lot of money in beating the Russians to the moon, and you know, basically, if the space race had played out differently, and if the Cold War had kind of played out differently, and they have a lot of alternate history going on, but mostly the show is loaded with really strong female characters who, you know, they have women involved as astronauts really early on, and what they went through, and it's loaded with female characters. In fact, all the interviews tomorrow are all the female characters. On the press tour tomorrow. But it's loaded with great women who still have all the sexism from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, that's interesting. I also think it's interesting too that they skipped the whole 10 years. I mean, I get that they had to, but there's kind of this big jump that you get before season 2.
Oh yeah, season 1 ends in 73 and season 2 begins in 83.
And I think from what Ron Moore said, I think that's kind of the plan continuing. They'll probably jump another decade. For next season.
Well, I worry about that because I don't want to see actors aged up too much in makeup.
That's true, too, yeah.
A 10-year jump, they age them a little. If they do 10 years every year, I hope they all die because I don't want to see them all, in old people makeup.
You're funny.
But you want to see the entire cast in old people makeup? No, right?
No, you're right,
That's funny.
And right now there's not a new generation. There's two people under the age of 25 on the show right now.
All right.
So, all right.
Sounds fun. Well,
anyway, those videos will be up soon, too.
All right. Sounds good. All right.
I forget what else I was going to say because my brain just went kaput. So, okay. Well, have a good night, guys. Oh, and I will say, too, I know I had messaged you guys pretty soon, and, you know, I think I forgot the date. I have been doing so much with TCAs, my brain is messed up. I got to double-check the date. But, you know, Gary's going to pretty soon come on to talk about his web series that he had mentioned before, so he'll be coming back.
Is
that
coming
up?
Yeah. Cool.
All right. Well, good night, guys.
All right, ladies. We'll do it again next week.
Talk to you soon.
Yep.
All right.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.